No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome into the Rockies Insider. I am your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, breaking down the latest and greatest with those Colorado Rockies. There is some news out there on the day after Super Bowl 59, Eagles over Kansas City, 40-22. There's not much to say about that. I want to get to the baseball stuff here, but not a lot of people were rooting for either of these teams. It seems like more people that I talked to were pulling for Philadelphia. Makes it a lot easier that they're in the NFC and don't play the Broncos. Kansas City winning three in a row. Look, everyone likes to see greatness, but up to a certain point, and Mahomes was not great in that game. So gloat all you want about him taking the L, but remember this. Patrick Mahomes signed a 10-year, $450 million extension with Kansas City after that first Super Bowl 2019. And one of his first purchases was part of the Kansas City Royals. Yes, you may have forgotten about that story. I think it came out actually during the pandemic in 2020. But he became the youngest part owner in sports history ever at 24 years old. So not sure what the percentage is. It might even be a fraction of a percentage. But Patrick Mahomes, believe it or not, yes, he does own some of the Kansas City Royals. Crazy to think about. Shout out to everybody from the Rocky Mountain chapter of Sabre, everybody who came out to the Stanley Beer Hall on Saturday for the Sabre Day celebration. What a wonderful time. It was great just being around wonderful baseball people and some wonderful hardcore fans that exist out there, because it was wonderful. We gave out the first ever Herb Shankman Award for anyone that might not know and isn't a part of our chapter. Herb Shankman was a gentleman who spent about 12 days in the majors with the Milwaukee Braves, was a teammate of Hank Aaron's, unfortunately was never called into a game. So you can find him on Baseball Reference, Herb Shankman. But unfortunately never got a chance to actually play in the majors, was a left-handed pitcher, and just was a wonderful community member that unfortunately did pass away last year. So we've got an award named after him, and we gave it to Bruce Hellerstein, who you may know him as the owner and operator of the National Ballpark Museum. Believe it or not, a place called the National Ballpark Museum, which sounds pretty damn awesome. It is. It's on Blake Street. It's less than a half a block away from Coors Field at 1940 Blake Street. They're open 6 days a week, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's absolutely fantastic, and it's a private collection of some incredible museum artifacts of various ballparks. It's absolutely amazing. I can't even begin to describe all the different things you can see there. Obviously, a lot about the Denver Bears and the Denver Zephyrs, the precursor to the Colorado Rockies, as you know, the only bit of professional baseball here in town before 1993, when the Rockies came into existence. There's a section of the Green Monster from Fenway Park on display. There's also a section of the scoreboard from Wrigley Field. It's an amazing thing. And unfortunately, Bruce let it be known too. There was an article in the Denver Post about this as well, but Bruce let it know that, you know, he's not gonna be able to keep the museum open a lot longer. So we as a baseball community definitely have to support him. I know our Sabre group is having some conversations about how we can support Bruce, but if you have an opportunity, go down and check out an incredible museum. And if you're even tight on cash, they even have like a little lobby that you could go in, and just that lobby is incredible. But It's well worth your money to check that out, especially now in the off season when you're probably dying for some baseball content. I'll get to some of the important dates coming up this week with spring training starting. But if you're not able to make it down to Arizona and you need that baseball fix, you got to make sure you're checking out the National Ballpark Museum at 1940 Blake Street. I was hosting a panel with a pair of authors, a pair of baseball scribes, and one former ball player in Mark Knudsen, who was the first ever player from Colorado to play for the Colorado Rockies. That was back in 1993. Told some great tales about matching wits, so to speak, and going toe-to-toe with the likes of Hall of Famer Nolan Ryan, and touching on the fact that he played with three Hall of Famers in his career in Milwaukee, Robin Yount, Paul Molitor, and now, as part of the class of 2025, Dave Parker. So it was awesome talking with him and Manny, sharing his expertise on StatCast and what it means for him as someone who grew up in the Bay Area to no longer have the A's there. He grew up more as a Giants fan, but he still went to a ton of games at the Oakland Coliseum as he was from Oakland. So I have a similar story with going to tons of baseball games for teams that I didn't particularly care for, but yet they were the nearest team and it was professional baseball and it was baseball. And that's what we love as a community. So Manny and Mark were there and they talked a little bit about their books that they wrote, which was incredible. They signed a copy of their books and two of those copies were given away to the trivia contest winner, Mike Roberts. Congratulations to him and Dr. David Wallach, who helped put together the quiz, the seating test, 17 questions as a quiz. And then we went to the finals, the final five, and it was just a really good time. The annual game of catch, folks went outside on the grass to toss things about, and just a wonderful gathering of folks. Our next get-together is actually coming up. It's always the third Wednesday of every month. Stoney's Bar and Grill on Lincoln in Denver is the spot that we are always gathering. And so the next time we will be getting together will be February 19th. At noon. You don't have to be a member. Just show up, come hang out. You'll be surprised with some of the stories you hear. You might even be surprised by who shows up because a lot of notable people make their living in Denver or have had wonderful baseball careers and live in and around Denver and show up to these events. I'm trying to get a notable former Rocky from the 1990s might be showing up here very soon. At one of these luncheons. So that's why you got to be there every single month. You never know what's going to happen. Now, this week ahead, well, Sunday, believe it or not, the Chicago Cubs reported. One of those reasons for reporting on February 9th, several days before everyone else, is because they've got to get ready for the Tokyo series coming up on March 18th through 19th. Tampa Bay is going to be reporting along with the Dodgers on Tuesday, February 11th. The other half teams are going to be reporting on Wednesday, and then Colorado is the last half of teams that report on Thursday, February 13th. So a lot of news that will be coming out in the days ahead from Colorado Rockies camp. Patrick Saunders actually not necessarily broke anything, but he caught up with GM Bill Schmidt. It had been a couple weeks since we talked to him at the Rockies Fan Fest, and there was a couple of tidbits that came out during a series of articles he wrote for the Denver Post worth discussing. Brenton Doyle's extension. Apparently, there have been some internal talks within the Rockies to give Brenton Doyle some kind of extension. I actually asked Bill Schmidt this. That was one of my first questions at the winter meetings down in Dallas. And he said no, that there weren't any internal talks. So I'm not really sure what has changed, if there was just poor communication at the winter meetings or poor communication to the Denver Post this month. Unclear exactly why there's been different answers here over the course of 2 months. But it's certainly a topic worth diving into a little bit deeper. I'm just going to touch on the simple fact that when considering an extension, what you are doing is giving guaranteed money to a player that guaranteed money is not being given to. Arbitration figures are not guaranteed contracts. It's one of the reasons why Brendan Rodgers was able to be non-tendered. So despite the fact that he was looking to make about $5.5 million in arbitration, or that's what he would have received, something in and around $5.5 million. Because he was going through the arbitration process, that money is not guaranteed. So when the Rockies non-tendered him, they were on the hook for $0. Now, had they signed some kind of extension with Brendan Rodgers and they no longer wanted to keep him around, if they would have cut him with a $5.5 million contract, they would have had to eaten all of that or paid it down to trade him somewhere else. As it were, when a player goes through arbitration and does not have an extension, you don't have that same issue. You've not made any investment into that player. Now, when it comes to Brendan Doyle, he's going to be playing in his age 27 season, and he still has 5 more years of club control. So an extension that would be given to Brendan Doyle would pay for his age 32 season and beyond. And age 32 is not particularly a time in which players are at their peak. And again, we are talking about guaranteed money versus going year to year. And going year to year is not good for the player. It's very good for the team. On the flip side, depending on the kind of contract you sign with a player as an extension, sometimes you can save money in the present in order to save money in the future sense. So if you don't give someone like Brendan Doyle an extension, you know, arbitration could become really expensive, and you'll go back and look and say, shoot, you know what? We should have given him that guaranteed money because it would have been less than going year to year in arbitration. That's part of the decision that has to be made. Is Brendan Doyle one of those players that you're going to regret not locking up past his age 32 season? Or is he a player maybe similar to a Brendan Rodgers where you want to go year to year because you don't know what their future is going to hold, or it just doesn't seem as necessary to do something like that? So that's part of those internal discussions that are going on right now for Brendan Doyle, but still not an arbitration eligible player this year. So he'll be making essentially the league minimum for 2025. And 2026, he'll more likely than not be a Super 2 player and go to arbitration. He'll be in arbitration for the final 4 years of his club control in a similar way to Ryan Feltner. One of the other pieces of information that Saunders discussed with Bill Schmidt is how quite possibly somebody from the current 5-man rotation might end up in the bullpen. And that would, of course, be to make way for a young starting pitcher that earns their way into the rotation. Chase Dolander being the number one case, that player where it's been said many, many times, if he performs in spring training, And not even just performs, because it doesn't, the numbers sometimes can lie, either in a good way or in a bad way. But if he can show the staff that he is ready to start in the rotation on opening day, then yes, somebody in that veteran 5-man rotation between Kyle Freeland, Austin Gomber, Ryan Feltner, and then the two returning Antonio Senzatella and Herman Marquez. That's 5 veteran guys that have a pretty solid track record of performance in the majors. Maybe not all from 2024, but they have shown that they have an ability to be a successful average to above average to sometimes way above average starting pitcher. So you would make room for a guy like Chase Dolander if he shows that he has something really special that they do need to seize and capitalize upon, rather than saying, well, just work on a couple more things down in spring training, or rather down in double A or triple A. No, strike while the iron is hot so that player can continue to build momentum and not come up or not have more injuries. Like, again, you just never know what can happen and change the trajectory of a player by keeping him down in the minors and then they get hurt. And, you know, look at Ryan Rawls and all of the injuries that he's had. I don't think the Rockies have, you know, made a misstep by not promoting him earlier when he was healthy, because he might quite, you know, very likely was not ready for the majors yet. But there was a scenario, and I've said it before, and whether I don't know if there was a prediction necessarily, but I thought there was a scenario going into 2019 after Ryan Rawlinson had just been drafted and looked really solid in a little bit of pro experience that he had gotten in 2018. And we've seen teams do aggressive things like this, but that maybe by midseason, Ryan Rawlinson could be helping out the Rockies bullpen. you don't necessarily want the guy you selected 20th overall in the 2018 MLB draft out of Ole Miss to be a reliever. But if you have a player that is tearing up the minor leagues that you can immediately inject into your bullpen from the left side to get 2-3 guys out, well, that's great big league experience. And then, you know, in 2020, you can go ahead and stretch him back out. You've got some options with that. That being said, Ryan Rolison, a series of unfortunate injuries. He's still yet to make his major league debut. Again, another starting pitcher from the SEC, drafted very high with a lot of high expectations on him. If Dolander has earned a spot in the rotation, he has to be out there in that rotation to begin the season and give him a chance to flourish, because we don't know what his heights can be. And I just don't see a guy who's ready for the majors to be kept down for any of those five veteran starting pitchers I named. And it seems as if the Rockies agree with that as well, because somebody might have to become the long reliever from that veteran staff to make room for a special, special talent like Dolander. And so that's good news. Certainly good news coming out of the Rockies front office. Now, because of the blowout of the game, and I mean, even that final score, 40-22, Eagles over KC, it seems like, oh, all right, well, yeah, maybe it was kind of close. The game was, it was a blowout. It was an absolute blowout. And so for the entire second quarter, I decided to do a little bit of research, knowing full well Patrick Mahomes was drafted in 2014 by the Detroit Tigers. I knew a couple other guys had been drafted. Obviously, John Elway right here in Denver was selected twice, 1980 and 1981. Lastly, by the Yankees, did play for the Oneonta Yankees for one season. But I wanted to do some research. It didn't take too long, but crunched the numbers and figured out, okay, there's 59 Super Bowls, which in theory could make there be 118 different starting quarterbacks. Of course, we know many quarterbacks have gone to multiple Super Bowls. So first learned there's been 66 quarterbacks over the 59 Super Bowls. 10, believe it or not, 10 have been drafted by MLB, the first of which, didn't know, Ken Stabler, the Rattlesnake, 1968 by the Houston Astros. Next up, Joe Theismann. I think he was drafted three times, actually. But in 1971 was his highest draft. Minnesota Twins, Dan Marino, 1979 by the Kansas City Royals, John Elway in 81 by the Yankees. Did not know that Kerry Collins was drafted by the Detroit Tigers. I think he was drafted back-to-back years. But Kerry Collins, Giants and Carolina Panthers QB. Steve McNair, also did not know he was drafted in MLB, 1991 by the Seattle Mariners. Tom Brady, famously selected by the Expos in 1995. Colin Kaepernick, 2009 by the Chicago Cubs, Russell Wilson, 2010 for the Colorado Rockies, and then Patrick Mahomes, 2014, Detroit Tigers. So a lot of QBs can sling it, but not all of them were also good at baseball. John Gray, very good at baseball. Texas is actually considering using John Gray as their closer this year. Now, if you look at what their bullpen was last year, forget about 2023. It's now 2 years ago, but last year, Kirby Yates got most of the saves. David Robertson was in that bullpen. Jose Leclerc there as well. All three of those guys are gone. Chris Martin did sign a one-year deal. He does have a little bit of closing experience, 14 career saves in just about as many years. So, you know, not a ton there. Would he be fine in that role? I think so, for sure. So the Rangers might not have a dedicated closer. They might have a closer by committee, and Gray could be a part of that committee, or maybe even Gray could become a guy for the ninth inning. He's made 223 starts in his career, only five relief appearances. Three of those five were actually where he finished the game. So he was there in the ninth inning. No saves. And so certainly you have to have a closer mentality, which is something that John Gray has had some challenge with in the past, that mentality that, you know, I'm that MF-er, if you will. I'm that dude to get the job done. even if there is a guy on base, I will blow this guy out of the water. And you have to be able to forget yesterday in a major way. That was something Goose Gossage said in December, is you have to put yesterday in the past. Like that didn't happen. That doesn't matter. Go back out there with an absolute swagger. Even if you've blown it 2 days in a row, that doesn't matter. You're the dude. Go out there and shove. And I think John Gray has definitely improved his mentality since going to Texas. I think the change in scenery did him wonders. And so do I think he can be successful at it? I really do. I do. They're paying him, you know, a hefty salary, $14 million. Closers are getting that kind of money. Closers are getting that much. So, you know, could this be a start of something new for Gray as a reliever, as a closer? Maybe it's just for this year. Maybe they don't go that route, depending on the health of some of their other starters. But John Gray as a closer, I would be interested in seeing what that looks like. Connor Joe, we're going to see him wearing his hometown San Diego Padres uniform this upcoming season. He signs a one-year, $1 million deal, just over the league minimum, to play with the hometown Friars. There's a potential for an extra $1.25 million available for incentives. Joe, now 32 years old. He's from Poway High School nearby. His family owned a restaurant, I want to say about 20 minutes south of Petco Park. He attended the University of San Diego, so that's the wonderful fit. Super happy for Joe to be there in his hometown. That's going to be great for him next season. Probably going to be a part of a platoon in left field with Jason Hayward, who also signs a one-year deal in his age 35 season. Last year, you know, he was pretty solid to average to above average, I would say, in that platoon role, mostly versus right-handed pitching. So Connor Joe, you stick him in there against left-handed pitchers. You know, you could probably have both of them in the lineup on certain days. So Padres finally starting to move around, do some things. They give a minor league deal to Gavin Sheets, the corner outfielder, first baseman, formerly of the Chicago White Sox. They're now engaging with other teams about Dylan Cease. Apparently they floated a package of prospects to the Baltimore Orioles saying, hey, maybe like a Jordan Westberg and a Kobe Mayo and a Samuel Basalo, who's their top catching prospect. And Orioles just not interested in dealing any of those guys right now, as all of them really should be a vital part of their future. Maybe Kobe Mayo is the one I think you can afford to offload. Jordan Westberg, I mean, he had a really strong rookie campaign this year. So with five more years of club control, you are giving up a lot. And to give up 5 years for a guy who was an all-star this year, let's not forget, which I did for half a second there, but a guy who was really solid, above average player, who played a little second, a little third base, to give up 5 years of him for even an ace like Dylan Cease for 1 year really doesn't make a ton of sense. Even if part of that math is if you acquire Dylan Cease before the start of the season and he goes out and does what he's expected to do, even if he is, you know, slightly a notch below, you can give him a qualifying offer. He will reject it. And then when he goes and signs with his next team, you do get a compensation draft pick. So that's part of that math that San Diego is doing, saying if we trade this guy to you, you know you're going to get a compensation pick. And if we keep him, we know that we're going to get a compensation pick if we hold on to them, if we hold on to this player for the entirety of the season. So you already have to give us more than that. You already have to give us more than what we know we're going to be getting if we stand pat. Connor Siebold, former Rockies insider guest, really happy to report that 29-year-old signs a minor league deal with the Tampa Bay Rays. And my, oh my, if there's a team and you're a pitcher that you want to sign a deal with that could help you take your game to the next level, become more of a consistent pitcher, a big league pitcher that sticks around and has a long career, it's the Tampa Bay Rays. That is an organization that will help you tap into your best. Kike Hernandez, already with one of those best organizations, as he signs a one-year deal to come back to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Had a couple texts back and forth with some friends about this move, and it was like, well, okay, who are they going to designate for assignment now to create room on the 40-man that's probably going to be an all-star this year. Like Ryan Brazier, okay, I know he's a setup man, but is he going to be an all-star in the NL? Yeah, maybe. Very well could. Diego Cartaya, you know, he was a top prospect, fell off top 100 lists over the last couple of years, but does he reemerge as, you know, being an everyday catcher with the Minnesota Twins after that trade and they cut him loose? So who is it going to be now that they do that with? Might not be anybody, because as it turns out, and I haven't seen a ton of teams do this, and to be honest, I didn't know this rule exactly in and out. One of those that, because it doesn't really factor in that much early on in the year, didn't think much of it. But as soon as pitchers and catchers report to camp for your team, you can put a player on the 60-day IL. Now, granted, that means this guy's going to be out for a while, so you're not just doing that with anybody to create room on the 40-man roster. We're typically talking about guys that just had Tommy John surgery, and the Dodgers have a couple guys that fit that description that will very easily be out for the entirety of the season. So that's one way that the Dodgers are allowed, like any team would be allowed, to still sign a player with their 40-man roster full. There's tons of free agents out there, like Cal Quantrill and Brendan Rodgers are still both free agents right now. If they sign with a team that has a 40-man roster that's full, doesn't necessarily mean that somebody has to go goodbye. Doesn't necessarily mean somebody's got to pack their bags. It could just mean somebody that the team already knows had Tommy John surgery and is going to be out for a while. You're going to put that guy on the 60-day IL rather than waiting to do something like that when you get closer to opening day. Because that's typically what will happen, is you've got your non-roster invite guys, and you know the Rockies very well may do something like that. Well, we'll get to that this week. We'll get to that for the next month plus, about who can make the opening day roster from these non-roster invites, guys that are battling for one of those 26 spots on the opening day roster for the Rockies. Well, if Austin Nola needs to get added to the 40-man because he becomes the backup, and if Diego Castillo becomes a seventh, eighth inning guy for the Rockies in front of Tyler Kinley and Seth Halverson as your two-headed closer, again, that's a whole other conversation worth having. But if you have to add one or both of those guys, well, somebody either has to get sent packing, or two other players need to be placed on the 60-day IL. And we don't know the actual health of Marquez and Senzatela and Lucas Gilbreth. We've been told that they're looking great and they're doing well. We'll see if that continues to be the case once they start throwing, once we see them down in Scottsdale, which I will be doing here very soon. And I hope to see you at the next luncheon down at Stoney's, or, you know, anywhere around the ballpark at any of these baseball events. If you get yourself signed up to the Rockies Insider, I've always got calendar of events there for both the Rockies and just in and around the Denver area. So make sure you sign up for that free newsletter, and make sure that you leave a review on the YouTube page, or leave a comment. If there's a topic that you're interested in, a lot of attention on the expansion episode that I did, talking for nearly 2 hours on that. Some of you on the podcast side have already listened to the first two episodes of that. Two more still coming in the next week ahead. But if you can't wait, head on over to YouTube, watch that. If you prefer to watch those kind of things, or listen to those kind of things, I should say, sped up. I listen to a lot of content on 1.5 to 1.75 speed. I'm a maniac that way. I don't know. But if you like to do that, you can still do that on YouTube. Speed it up. Get all that info on MLB expansion. Leave a comment in there. I see that. I can respond back to you. And that actually really helps me in the algorithm, just like a review would on the podcast side. It goes a really long way, and it would really be appreciated. So please take just a couple moments to do something like that, because it can really, really help me out in the long run. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, and at Rockies Insider on all the social medias. Hope you have a great start to your week. I hope that you didn't lose too much money on the Super Bowl. You weren't too frustrated, too dejected. That Hail Mary at the end there, that score didn't totally change things in your boxes, and you ended up missing out. My parents missed one because Kansas City went for the two-point conversion there early on rather than kicking the extra point. So, look, those things happen. Have a great week. I know you can. I know you will. Appreciate you stopping by and giving me this wonderful momentum. But, of course, as I like to say, momentum, man, it is only as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you then.